Venerable Mary Frances of the Five Wounds, Virgin Second Order. A charming mystery of divine grace is presented to us in the life of Margaret Sinclair. The cradle of this servant of God, who was born in 1900, was in the house of a simple and devout working man's family in Edinburgh. Her whole life bears the impress of simple ways and childlike sentiment. In her solicitude for the salvation of the soul of a wayward boy, Margaret kept company with him for nearly 3 years, always declining his proposals of marriage, with the remark that she had no desire to marry. Life in a large city is always attended with special dangers for youth, but Margaret armed herself against them by intimate friendship with our Savior in the tabernacle and in Holy Communion. Her associates in the furniture factory, where she worked for several years, kept a careful guard over their language when Margaret was about, for, they said, she is a saintly girl. But this does not mean that she was long-faced and forbidding in manner. The contrary is the case. She possessed the real Franciscan disposition, which is always cheerful and spreads sunshine everywhere. She enjoyed games, she danced, she loved music and attractive clothes, and took the greatest delight in making other people happy. But her conversation, her letters, and her diary manifested a depth of thought and knowledge surpassing that of educated girls of her age. To a friend whom she was trying to attract to the practice of daily Holy Communion, she said, "You should not go to Holy Communion because you are good, but because you are trying and want to be good." At last, this working girl yielded to the attraction she had always felt for convent life and joined the Poor Clares. "Oh, yes," she said to her confessor, who was sounding her out, "matrimony is a great sacrament, but I wish to be alone with my Savior." On July 21st, 1923, she was received as a postulant at the Poor Clare Convent in London, and the following year she was clothed with the holy habit. A year later, she made her profession as an extern sister. She had now entered upon her life's career, but little did she dream that it would be short-lived. Margaret had contracted tuberculosis of the throat, and shortly after profession, she was obliged to go to the sanitarium. This was a great trial for the young Poor Clare. She said in her own simple way, "The life of a Poor Clare is made up of prayer and penance. That is exactly what I have here, prayer and penance." And so, despite her sufferings, Sister Mary Frances of the Five Wounds, as she was known in religion, was always cheerful, happy, and contented. Those about her drew inspiration from her fortitude. A visiting priest remarked, "If she belongs to the slums, she is only another example of the miracles of God's grace, which we priests are privileged to witness in the souls of those who, though materially poor, are rich in the things of the Spirit." She suffered untold agony for more than 6 months, but she retained a clear mind to the very end. Her one desire was to be with God. Her confessor reports that she suffered a veritable purgatory in a certain thirst of the soul which baffled description, and which sometimes poured itself out in the whisper, "I want to see him." Margaret's beautiful death was the echo of the holy life of a beautiful soul. She was filled with joy at being permitted to go to God. She died on November 24th, 1925. Although she had spent but 25 years on earth, she was rich in merits and ripe for heaven. Her body, at first buried at Kensal Green Cemetery, Notting Hill, was later brought back to her own hometown and now rests in Mount Vernon Cemetery at Liberton. Pope St. Paul VI, on February 6, 1978, conferred on her the title of Venerable by declaring that she practiced the virtues to a heroic degree. The duties of our vocation. The duties of our state of life and the Christian religion harmonize well with each other. Those who read the life story of Margaret Sinclair will probably ask, what did she do that is so extraordinary? But neither sainthood nor religion require anything extraordinary. They are found rather in the simple, ordinary fulfillment of the duties of our state of life. Cheerfulness is also compatible with religion and holiness. This too is evident in the life of Sister Mary Frances. She was always cheerful. She spread sunshine everywhere by her straightforward and unaffected cheerfulness and good humor. And why not? It is written, "Serve the Lord with gladness," Psalm 99. And Christ commanded his disciples, "May my joy be in you, and your joy be filled." John 15:11. How foolish are they, then, who believe that religion and cheerfulness are opposed to each other. Recreation is likewise compatible with religion and piety. Let us again look at the life of Margaret Sinclair. She took pleasure in attractive clothes and dancing and music and games, and yet she became a saint. All that is necessary is that we strive to sanctify our recreation as well as our work by the right intention. Wine and music rejoice the heart, but the love of wisdom is above them both. Ecclesiasticus 40:20. We should not be too absorbed in these things and make them an end in themselves, but rather use them in moderation in order to serve God better and more cheerfully. Let us then be sensible in our attitude toward recreation. Prayer of the Church. O God, the protector of those who hope in Thee, without whom nothing is strong, nothing holy, pour forth Thy mercies in us, so that under Thy guidance and direction, we may so pass through the things of time that we may not lose those of eternity. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you.